for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 23rd, 2018. Carter B. Todd is the speaker of the evening, teaching on To Be Effective in the Kingdom.
Our sister Carla Butod is going to come minister to us tonight, and I believe that she'll have something to destroy the works of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, I want to start with some scriptures out of Jeremiah. This was when the Lord spoke to me. Because I had a lot of inferiority complexes. I don't have those anymore, thank God. I went to one semester of college and didn't show up for one speech class because I couldn't stand in front of people. See what God will do. Okay, so this was in March of 2002. Then said I, Jeremiah, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But I have woman there, because a lot of people would say that a woman shouldn't even be speaking. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, or for me, say not, I'm a woman. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whosoever, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. So I remember saying, Lord, just don't let me see their faces. And I do. I look around and I see faces, but I don't see anything that I shouldn't see. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and then to build and to plant. And tonight I want to bring a word. We are going to do some rooting and destroying and throwing down, but this is a word that I pray will build and plant. Because I get lots of emails, and what I've come to a couple of conclusions. First of all, people don't know how to pray. Prayer is simply talking to God. It shouldn't be hard. But people are afraid they're going to pray wrong. They're afraid they're going to pray amiss. They're afraid to just talk to God. And that's what prayer is. The other thing is they don't really know who they are in Christ. That is sad, but that was myself not too long ago. I mean, I was a Christian for many, many years before I really started understanding who I am in Christ, because God had to show that to me. And I pray that He will show every one of you. We have heard thousands of messages on who we are in Christ, but here's the truth. Knowing who you are in Christ is the most important element to spiritual warfare. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you will never be effective in the kingdom of God or for the kingdom of God, because you never will step out and do what He has commissioned us to do. It says in Romans 5:19, For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You're not a sinner because you sinned, even though That is true too. But it's what Adam did that caused you to be a sinner. He did that. So everyone born after that was a sinner. But then it says, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. See, we can't do anything to become righteous other than accept Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Then that becomes our righteousness. That's the breastplate of righteousness in the armor. So we were made sinners by Adam, but now we are made righteous by Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, for he, speaking of God, hath made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we need to know who we are in Christ, the position that we hold. Before we were saved, we were dead spiritually. We were like Lazarus when he was laid in the grave. He was really dead. But we are dead spiritually before we are born again. We're flesh, all flesh. We serve Satan and self before we're saved. But after we're saved, we're still flesh, but we are born again. Our spirit is born again. And then we, our flesh body, becomes a vessel. Now this is where we need to understand the difference. We are vessels of the living God. That is hard to really comprehend, that each of us is a vessel of the living God. When Jesus walked the earth, he was God made flesh. He walked the earth. But then he left so that he could send himself to everyone who would believe on him. Everyone who believes, he comes to live in you. That's why the violence started when John the Baptist came and started saying, there's one coming greater than I. He is the one. And then Satan got really nervous. He wanted to kill Jesus, and he thought he had accomplished that. But what he didn't know was that when Jesus was resurrected and went and sat on the right hand of God the Father, everyone who believed on him, Jesus was coming back to the earth in us to continue the work that he did. John 1:11 says, he came unto his own, Jesus. He was sent to his people. And his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Are y'all believers on his name? Have you received him? In verse 16 it says this, and of his fullness, I want you to think about that, of his fullness, we didn't get just a little bit of Jesus or a little bit of everything that he had when he was here on earth. We have received his fullness and grace for grace. Okay? So now it says in Ephesians 2:4-6, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead. See, he gave his life even when we were sinners and dead in sin. Even when we were dead in sins before you were saved, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated with Christ in heaven. Where does Jesus sit? In 1 Peter 3:22, it says of Jesus, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Now listen to this. Angels, and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, I'm making these points because over the years, as I teach, I will assign angels to go do something. And then somebody will come up to me and go, only God can give charge to the angels. Now, they're getting that out of the Old Testament, first of all. And I'm not saying the Old Testament is null and void. It says that God changes not, but his covenant with man did. We need to understand his covenant changed. We're not under the Old Testament covenant. We're under a new and better covenant. And if you don't have that in its right place, go read Hebrews 7, 8, 9, and 10. It says it over and over and over again that the old was done away with so that a new and better could come in. And we need to get to the new and better. You know, when the Hebrews were in bondage in Egypt, God sent Moses to bring them out of bondage. He took them out, brought them right up to the promised land, but guess what? They didn't enter in because of their unbelief, it says in Hebrews. They didn't enter in. God gave them the land, but they didn't go in and take it. Okay? So we have an inheritance in Christ. Amen. Are you getting it? Are you going after that inheritance? Amen. You know the story of Naboth, who had the vineyard next door to King Ahab? And Ahab wanted that vineyard, and he went and offered to buy it. He was going to give him big bucks and better land, or another land. And he said, God forbid that I should sell my inheritance. Man, that was a smart man. We should not sell our inheritance, nor should we settle for anything less than our inheritance. Okay, so the only people that went into the promised land were Caleb and Jacob and all those that were under the age of 20. Did you know that? Those that were 20 years and older died in the wilderness. Okay, so now in the New Testament days, we were in darkness. God sent Jesus now to deliver us out of darkness into his marvelous light, his kingdom of light. And we came right up to the cross of Calvary. We received our salvation. And then we pitched our tents and started having church. And we've never fully entered in to all that he intended us to enter into. That's why I want to give this so that you leave here knowing exactly who you are, what your position is, what your authority is. Because let me tell you, days are coming you're going to need to know your authority. One morning God told me, you need to stop being polite to the devil. And that was shocking. As I've looked over certain things that have happened in my life, I can see where I have been polite to the devil. There were times I should have said, no, you know, but we're Christians. We're supposed to be nice. We're supposed to be sweet. And the devil knows that, and he takes advantage of it. Well, it's time to stop being polite to the devil. So we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Angels and authority and powers were made subject unto him. Now let me ask you a question. If you're seated with Christ in heavenly places and he's all of those things, aren't you too? That's our position. Now, there will be those like, we are above Satan. He's a bully and he does some pretty nasty things. He kicks us around for a long time until we understand who we are. And then you stop being polite to the devil and say, just a minute. I have more power than you do. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, let me just read it. Luke 10:19, because I invariably leave something out. And I don't want to leave anything out. Jesus said this, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Not just some, not just up to a certain level. You know, if I rebuke Satan, somebody goes, oh, they start shaking. They get absolutely terrified. You're not supposed to rebuke the devil. Even Michael the archangel, when they disputed over the body of Moses, didn't have a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. When people tell me that, I thought, you know, I used to think that, but they don't know who they are in Christ. Because we are above the angels. Amen. Do you know the angels watch us? They wish that they could be a man, because we are like Christ. They will never. They are under Jesus. And so I just want to stop right now, and I want to call Michael the archangel to come and do battle in the heavens over this place right now for the warfare that is going on for our souls. There's a war going on. So we can have an open heaven to receive everything that God has for us tonight. All the power of the enemy. Don't you ever forget that. All the power. Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I command you to shut up and go. He's a liar. So if he comes and tells you, this is not going to work, you better not do that, because it's not going to work. Because he doesn't want us to use our authority. If he can keep us down, he wins. And it's time for us. We sang that song, Stand Your Ground. We need to stand our ground and know who we are. Okay? In Jude 9, that's where I just quoted that. 1 Corinthians 6:3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more then things that pertain to this life? Hebrews 1:14, it says, of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister, which means serve? The word minister means to serve. For them. Now, some Bibles say minister to them. No, it's for them. They were sent to help us. To help us. I did a teaching called Tools for These Times that talks about the different things that we have in this day and time, because we live in dangerous times. He's given us his name. He's given us the blood of Jesus. He's given us angels. He's given us binding and loosing. He's given us many tools to use in life. And this girl at the church where I taught that, she put that to use. There was a fire in her neighborhood, and the house was burning down, and she knew the people that lived in the house, and she prayed, Lord, I call on an angel to come and help. And I have a picture on my phone, and if you'd like to have it, email me, I'll send it to you. But there is that she took a picture of the fire, not seeing what she saw after she looked at the picture, but that it's clear that there is an angel taller than the house. A flame is fire, but it looks like an angel. You can see the head, the body, and he's holding a sword. And the people were in. It's at the back. If you're looking at the house, it's at the back right corner. It was a two-story house. The house was completely demolished, but that back corner is still standing, and that's where the people were. That's where they had retreated to. The angel is standing there. They took him to the hospital, and they had no injuries, no burns. They did have some smoke inhalation, but they were spared. You can call on the angels. You know, the servant, Elisha's servant, there was an army surrounded them, and he was terrified. And so Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. Now, I'm not so sure Elisha saw them, but he knew they were there. So you need to know they are there. And so the servant's eyes were opened, and he could see the fiery chariots, that there was more help, more on their side than the enemy's, and they won the battle. So you can call on the angels. One time when my son was little, it was bedtime. If you have children, you know that all the bad stuff comes up at bedtime. They want to talk about serious stuff. And there was a kid at school, a bully, that was threatening to beat him up. And he didn't want to go to school. He was scared. He did not want to go to school the next day. Well, you're going to school, but this is what we're going to do. I said, Kyle, that boy, it's not even the boy. We need to understand, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. If we wrestle not with flesh and blood, then it's a spiritual battle, and that's why we need to know who we are so that we can be effective in the spiritual realm to do warfare over the things in our life. So I said, that little boy, it's not even the boy. He has a spirit. He has a bully spirit, a mean man spirit. And so I'm going to ask God, I'm sending angels with you to school. And when you see that boy tomorrow, we're asking God right now to open that boy's eyes so that he can see the mighty angels that are with you, and he'll run in 7 different directions. And the next day, when he got home from school, I said, so did you see the boy? And he says, Mama, he didn't even talk to me today. I said, see, they're given to help us. And if we know that, we can use it. If we don't know that, we won't use it. Sometimes I have a serious thing going on. I said, Lord, I'm calling everybody's angels who they're not using. Mine and everybody else's. All of those that are too scared to call on the angels. I want them. Listen, it's okay to be greedy with the things of God. He wants this for us. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay, so let me follow all my arrows here. So Jesus, okay, at one time I am asking God, because it says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I'm asking God, how in the world do you walk in the Spirit, Lord? I'm a flesh person, so how do you walk in the Spirit? And he gave me an open vision. And here was the vision. We have a square living room, and the wood-burning stove is in that corner. My prayer chair is in this corner. But all of a sudden, the wood-burning stove was gone. There were 3 young men in the corner. And I see me. This is the vision. I'm watching myself walk across that room. When I got close to that area, Before, they were just cutting up like young men would. And then they saw me, and they're looking at each other. It's like there's no place to run. They're in a corner. They're trying to get into the sheetrock almost. And I'm watching this in the vision, and I heard me look at those guys, and I said in my head, what's your problem? And I walked on by. And they came out of the corner, and they were high-fiving. They couldn't believe it. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. And then everything disappeared. And I said, Lord, what does she, who is me, not know? He said, those 3 figures were demons, not even people. And there are people walking around full of demons. When you walked across the room, they didn't even see Carla. Now, we're talking about a spiritual thing. Didn't even see Carla. This is God talking to me. He said, they see me, they see my son Jesus Christ, and they see the Holy Ghost. And they tremble. They were horrified. He said, that's what my people don't know. That's what my people need to know. You are a vessel of the living God. You're not just whoever you are. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a vessel of the living God. In John 17, you know, it's a little hard to believe, but in John 17, what happened when Jesus was baptized? The Holy Ghost descended. Do you know it says in a bodily shape? a bodily shape. They saw the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just an invisible thing. And it moved in the air like a dove. The Holy Ghost was not shaped like a dove, I hate to tell you. It was not shaped like a dove. When it says descended like a dove, it means it moved through the air without assistance. And the Holy Ghost descended and stayed on Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. So when we receive Jesus, we get the Holy Ghost too. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is something different. But God said if you ask for it, He'll give it to you. But you know what? There are spirits that will keep you from being able to get it. And it's an antichrist spirit. Sometimes we're raised in churches that don't, that resist some of the things of God. I was talking to a man one day, and he was sick. And I said, well, have you gone to the elders of the church and asked them to anoint you and pray for you? Oh, no, we don't do that in our church. And I'm like, how can it be a church and not do what the Bible says? But there are many churches who don't do what the Bible says. They'll offer you salvation, but go to the doctor if you're sick. You know, we'll give you the name of a good doctor. Or if even now they're having manifestations in churches where people are having demonic manifestations. I heard about a church service where a man just in the middle of the service jumped up and took all of his clothes off, and they called the police. See, the police don't know what to do with demons either. But the church should. You bind it. Bind it up. Somebody's making a scene. I command you to shut up in Jesus' name. I did that to a girl one time when I was first learning about deliverance. She was a neighbor lady of mine, and it was a God assignment, believe me. And so I was going to pray for her. I said, let's meet down at the church. There was a little wooden church where I would teach. And so I picked her up, and she started manifesting as soon as she got in the car. In fact, I pulled up real quick and said, get out, because she was going to vomit. I didn't want that in my car. Get out. But when she came back into the church, she was gibbering. And she had a sheepish look on her face. It was a manifestation. And I said, shut up and sit down in Jesus' name. You know, it's just real. It almost gets comical sometimes. But we have that power. But in John 17, it says this. This is what Jesus prayed. I'm going to start at verse 16. He's talking about the people that God had given him. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Now see, I told a lady one time, you know, Jesus prayed for you in John 17. Now how can that be? That's right here. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. That's future believers. Do you believe on His word?
Amen.
You're in this prayer. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me. Jesus is saying the Father is in him. And I in thee, Jesus is in God. That they also may be one in us. See, we're all together. God, Jesus had the Holy Ghost. It all came to us when we received him. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, God gave the glory to Jesus, I have given them. Uh-oh. That's a sacred cow in there somewhere. Don't try to take God's glory. He gave it to me. Do you belong to Jesus? Then we have to believe and agree with His Word. We've been taught a lot of stuff that is not the truth. And if you get into the Word, He just said that, thy Word is truth. If you get into the Word, you will have truth. And let me tell you what's good about that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this of the Word. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. Do you hear that? The Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You need more discernment? We do. We need lots of discernment. That means you have to get in the Word, and you will have the truth. And when a lie comes across, you will discern it. You will discern it. That's one thing that we need, keen discernment in these days and times, because there is a lot of stuff flooding into the church that has nothing to do with the Word of God. And we have to be very careful. In 1 Timothy, I'm going to make this point too. 1 Timothy chapter 4, because God showed me this and it was really interesting. It says, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Do you hear that? And God said to me, listen, people are not going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons because they fell away from the faith. It's giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that will cause you to walk away from the faith. It's dangerous. That's why we need discernment. Because those seducing spirits are out there in multitudes. And we have to be careful. And that's why we need to know the truth of the Word of God. Somebody asked me a question the other day, and I said, you know what it is? Somebody said, where is their discernment? I said, well, you know what it is? The church reminds me of birds, little birds, baby birds. They run here and they run there, and they let whomever's up here regurgitate. And they eat whatever comes out of their mouth. And then they'll go quote it like it's the truth. We need to know the Word of God. If you read the Word of God, you know, it's like eating. I realized when Randy was talking about how the Catholics use the communion and really think that it turns into the blood and body of Jesus Christ. But the Word is Him. He is the Word made flesh. And if we partake of His Word, we're partaking of Him. And guess what else is good? There are spirits. The Spirit of Truth is in here. The Holy Ghost is in here. Everything that we need is in the Word. There are familiar spirits. You can even have like a familiar spirit of Christ. You begin to look like Him and talk like Him and do the things that He did. That's what God actually wants us to do. It says that He came to destroy the works of the devil. So what should we be doing? Destroying the works of the devil. Nobody gets a free ride. It's not just, and here's the other thing that God showed me very recently, and I thought, Lord, that is so good. The story of Lazarus, when he was raised from the dead, he came out, and I've done a teaching on the grave clothes to help us understand why we need deliverance. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but he came out and he was bound with grave clothes. And in the Word it says, and he said to them, the people standing around. Loose him and let him go. See, it's a body ministry. Deliverance is not just for deliverance ministers. It's a body ministry. You do it for each other. Somebody's crying. That's how I kind of got started. What's wrong? So they tell me their problem. And it's out and out fear. I said, you know what? That's fear. I know. I used to have fear. Believe me, I know. It's a real thing. I've had people say, fear's not a spirit. It's an emotion. Better go read the Word. The Word says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Anger is a spirit, and it's a bad one. And I had it. I mean, I'm not pointing any fingers. It reminds me of an old fella that used to live out near us, and even Mike said, don't point. I said, I can't help it. There's something about it. You know, the finger of God. I don't know. There's just, I don't do it on purpose. It just happens. But he said, oh, see? When you're pointing your finger, how many fingers are pointing back at you? So from then on, I feel like you. Hey. See those fingers? I said, yes, I do. We can have fun, too. God has a sense of humor. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we should do the same thing. Matthew 10, verse 8, he said to the disciples, heal the sick. He didn't say go pray for them. Heal. What did Jesus do when he was here? He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. People say, you take all sickness? Is from the devil? Yes, I do. I do. Because it says he healed all those who were, and if they needed healing, they were either afflicted or they had an infirmity, and he healed them all, and they were oppressed of the devil. So, what was doing it? There was no sickness in the garden. It came in with sin and death. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Mark 16. I'm going to read that. 15 through 20. And he said unto them, the disciples. And I had a really sweet Baptist lady that was not so sweet when she was saying it. She said, he was talking to the disciples there. And you know what? She even said to me, because, you know, we're not supposed to argue over the Word. But people like to argue over the Word. And I quit talking about the Bible or anything else with her because, you know, she's family and I love her. And so let's just not talk about those things. Let's just keep it on, you know, a level that we can agree on and get along together. Okay? So, but one day she said to me, well, you call yourself a healer. I said, you have never heard me refer to myself as a healer. Now, God has sent me to go lay hands on people, and they have been healed. But I just did what he told me to do. I didn't, you know. But you know what, Jesus, he needs our hands. He needs our feet. He needs our mouth to be a mouthpiece. He said, go lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And in James, that was, Jerry said that this morning. If you be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, you deceive your own self. And I'm real literal. And when I read that, I stopped right then and I said, Lord, I'm not going to just be a hearer of your Word. I'm going to be a doer because I don't want to be deceived. And I began to do what Jesus said do. With signs following. That's another thing. He said recently to me, you know what? My people are not supposed to follow after signs. Signs are supposed to follow after them.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. But it's true. We have people running here and running there to see this and see that. And you know, people will say, I've never had that. I've never experienced that feeling or whatever. I said, hey, be careful wanting a feeling. or wanting a sign, because the devil will be glad to come give you one. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, and I'm saying to my Baptist aunt, do you believe it? She said, yes, I believe. Then he's talking to you and me. To him that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow who? Both that believe. Not just the disciples. All of that stuff did not die.
Amen.
It did not. And these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. Now, I'm going to share something with you that might raise some pricklies, but I'm going to say it anyway because God said it to me. And he said, I'm going to put my words in your mouth and you're going to speak them and not look at their faces. So he said, in Matthew, where it says, not all who cry, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they'll say, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we heal? Didn't we do many mighty works in your name? And then he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, that stopped me cold in my tracks reading that. Because I said, wait, Lord, wait a minute. Because if somebody comes in your name and they are doing the works, I might be deceived by them. How will I know if they're really yours or if you don't even know them and they're workers of iniquity? That concerned me. They did the works, these people. They prophesied. They healed. Listen, the devil can do those things. It says in Revelation 13 that he will have power to give life to the image. You know, we're talking about a statue or something. Wouldn't that be pretty convincing if I caused that eagle to fly off of the wall? I give life to the image, and the eagle flies off the wall. Wouldn't that wow you? Some people might believe that I have some kind of super duper power, because listen, that's what the devil's going to be doing in the last days, to deceive us. We better know the difference. But that scripture in Matthew, he said to me, listen, because what we usually, that scripture puts fear into people. It puts fear into people. Well, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I do these things. How do I know that he really knows me, or am I a worker of iniquity? Am I going to go to hell? And he said to me, the power had nothing to do with the people. I honor my name. I honor my name. He honors his name. We don't do anything of our own. We do it in the name of Jesus. Even David, when he defeated Goliath, said, I come in the name. The name. There's power in the name of Jesus. And you know, even when he gave power to the disciples, and they went out, and they came back, and they were excited. Even the demons. Jesus, even the demons. And this is all you ever hear preached. Well, don't get all caught up in that. Just be glad your names are written in the book. And they minimize the power. Don't minimize the power. You're going to need that power one day. And I want you to have the confidence in the name of Jesus that when you say it, it's going to move. The demons don't like the name of Jesus. And that needs to be the first thing that comes out of your mouth. That's what I've been teaching my granddaughter since she was 3. If anybody ever is coming at you and you're afraid they're going to hurt you, the first thing you say is, in the name of Jesus, you go or stop or whatever. Don't touch me. The demons will listen. Even babies, you know. Little children have healed people in the name of Jesus. I get little kids to pray for me. They're sweet. They don't have all those hang-ups that everybody has put on us. We need to get rid of those hang-ups and believe what the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, all of y'all and me, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We pray in the place of Jesus Christ. As an ambassador, that's what you are. Here's the definition. A diplomatic minister of the highest rank, sent on a special mission, accredited as permanent representative to another country or sovereign, with treaty signing powers. That's pretty powerful. You're going with the authority in place of Christ, an ambassador. See, you need to see yourself as God sees us and has appointed us, an ambassador, in Christ's stead, in the place of, in the position of, or function, customarily occupied by another. Jesus was here. He was God sent. He did what the Father said. Remember, he said, I only do what the Father, what I see my Father do. I only say what my Father says. Well, I may not have that kind of a direct connection like Jesus had. It's there. But Jesus, he heard, and he saw. Well, I may not be able to hear and see the way Jesus heard and saw, but I can see what Jesus did. If Jesus only did and said what the Father did, then I can do what Jesus did and know that I'm pretty safe because he saw the Father do it and say it. We can have that same assurance that if we do what Jesus said. You know, people would say, well, did you go? I mean, did God send you or did you just go on your own? I'd go, well, I don't know. All I know is I felt like I needed to do it. And he says, go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I go. I used to tremble when I would go. But that was put to rest in Mark 16 because he said that these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. Shall they cast out demons? Listen, if Jesus walked in here right today, remember when you were in school and the teacher walked up and said, get out a pen and a piece of paper? Pop test. Oh, I hated those things. I was a terrible test taker. Suppose Jesus walked in here today. Pop test. Okay, this is how we're going to judge whether or not you are a believer.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.